A lot of fun, man. A lot, and I mean that. A lot of fun.
And these guys are a bunch of, I mean, I don't want to say that they're a bunch of nobodies, but they're just, the guys that he brought in, you were like, who are these guys?
They're a bunch of nobodies. Yeah, they're a bunch of nobodies. I mean, and truthfully, I think they kind of like it that way. I think he likes it that way. Jerry Meyer, who I was talking to today, said that there's a thread on the junior college guys they're involved with right now, and there are several. He said the thread is they're all tougher than nails. The ones he knows, he said they are all street fighting type of guys. And Tyndall told me, he said, look, if you give me a 4-star guy that's got a prima donna kind of thing about him, or a 5-star guy, and you give me a guy that will fight you for the lunch money, I'll take the guy that will fight you for the lunch money over the 5-star guy all the time, because the 3-star guy isn't going to be afraid of that 5-star guy because he's tougher than him. And that's what we see from this team night in and night out.
I totally agree with you. And just the way you saw how, like, this team, when they first started playing, they would do hard fouls on people just at half court. And now they're learning how to play and how the refs are going to call the game.
It's really fun. And you know what? I think it's going to get more and more fun, because once we get past this cloud that's over the program right now, look, if the NCAA is not going to take out Roy Williams, and they're not, then Donnie Tyndall doesn't need to get taken out. If the NCAA doesn't take out Jim Boeheim, and they're not, then the NCAA doesn't need to take Donnie Tyndall out. If the NCAA has let Larry Brown do what Larry Brown's done, and I love Larry Brown. I think he's great for the game. I think he's a great coach. But my gosh, I mean, this is his third go-around. Why are they going to take this guy out? This guy will be great for college basketball in time.
I'll tell you right now, I really enjoy what he did. I really have. But yeah, you guys have enjoy your night, and I'll be listening to you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. I want to say a word here about Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, and then I'll let Keith finish that thought. But Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, ladies and gentlemen, online at daltonhydraulic.com. I was talking with Randy Dalton the other day, and he said, Tony, I just, you know, I'm up there in beautiful Granger County. You're down in the Raymere studio. He said, I just love what you guys do. I love being a part of the community and helping you, because you help me get the word out on what I do. And, you know, we just kind of serve each other here. And I said, you know, Randy, you know, you're warming my heart when you talk to me like that. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, proud to be one of only a handful of Prince Hydraulic master distributors in the nation. And they also make their own stuff there. So if you're looking at Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, if you're in the market and you're hunting an AC-DC hydraulic cylinder power unit, or you're in a business where you're hunting hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors, bearings, you name it, why don't you give them a shot? Why don't you call Mike Bates up there and the crew and give them a shot at daltonhydraulic.com. Again, daltonhydraulic.com. They literally do business worldwide out of beautiful Granger County, Tennessee. What a great success story they are. And Randy, thank you, man, for the opportunity for us to play a small part in what you do. And by the way, if you want to get on with us tonight, a line available now for the first time this evening. I anticipate staying on probably another maybe 15 or so minutes. So if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Keith, you were wanting to make a point, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Well, no, Tony, we're talking about the roster now. Well, what this team is like is, and you look back on the history of the league, I'm about to wear this, you see that they had a lot of great players that came in. That's the old CBA thing. Well, I mean, Washington's phone's headed pretty much on a week-by-week basis.
Well, hang on, Keith, you sound like you're in, I don't know what you've done, but your phone, you sound like you're in a, you sound like you're in a tunnel. You sound like you're hanging out with Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette today.
Is this better?
Yeah, man. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. No, it's like the old Continental Basketball Association, Tony, where teams are thrown together pretty much almost on a week by week basis. And the guys who were really good coaches in that league ended up being guys like Phil Jackson and George Karl and Flip Saunders and Bill Musselman, and guys that, once you saw the guys that won that league were really good coaches, because it's not easy. I mean, anybody, if you're sitting around and you're recruiting, it's really easy if you've got a set roster and you know, okay, these guys, you've got some continuity and guys are playing together. But when you've got to try to toss it together with disparate parts like he tried, and look, he's short some parts he thought he was going to have. I mean, I'm sure he thought, I mean, you don't bring in Dominic Woodson if you don't think you're going to be able to do something with him. You don't bring Ian Childs to campus if you don't think you're going to get something out of him.
I mean,
not only does he have a thrown-together roster, he's got less than what he thought.
I think it's incredible that he has as many hits as he has. Punter's an absolute hit. Carmichael, though he's not showing it right now, is a complete hit.
Hey, but at least he's eating up minutes, Tony. I mean,
that's
he's in
true.
There competing. I mean, the guys aren't having to eat his minutes now. And I mean, Derek Reese isn't having to try to play 35, 37 minutes a game. Armani Moore's not having to try to play that kind of minutes a lot of nights. So if nothing else, he's not completely killing you. So
you know what I'd like to see on this team? You know what I think would be real interesting if you could go back and if he would do it? I would wonder if that Thompson kid, if given the opportunity, isn't kicking himself. Now, I know he's up there at Virginia, and they're going to win a lot of games. He could have had some real fun, man, in this guy's system. That could have been fun with him leading the way. And you throw Richardson out there at the off guard. Man, you could have had a Villanova-type lineup. You could have attacked people with this team.
Right, yeah. Darius Thompson, well, put it this way. With the way Virginia's recruiting and the people they've got ahead of him right now, Darius Thompson needs to take full advantage of getting an education from one of the 10 best public-type schools in America, and he just needs to take advantage of that because he ain't going to see the floor, man.
Damn. Wow, that's harsh. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. My man Hatfield, let me tell you something. When it comes time to throw out the pipe wrench, he'll do that. When it comes time to throw out the pipe bomb, he'll do that. I mean, the guy is like an on-air gangsta. As we go back to the phones and grab our next call, hello and welcome.
What do you say, TV? What do you say, Keith?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, it's Jack.
Hey, Jack, great to talk to you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Tony. I love this team, Tony. I mean, I can't find any negatives to say about this team. I mean, they fought their hearts out. I mean, Konzo's teams were all, they never reached their full potential. And Pearl's teams toward the end, they didn't reach their full potential too. So I'm just glad to see these teams, you know, play their hearts out every single night. You know, even the Texas A&M game, yeah, they didn't have enough energy, but towards the end of the game, they gave one hell of a fight.
They sure did, and, man.
And that's what all that matters really to me is the season, because I know we don't have the talent depth, or I mean, we're playing with Tariq Owens on the court, and he's really bad. And Carmichael's not too far behind, but I mean, they're showing improvement. And I just love the staff and, you know, everything about them. They're blue collar.
Yep.
You know,
they're us. You know,
yeah,
Jack, I'll tell you something about, they are, and I'll tell you something about Tariq Owens. You watch when that kid gains weight, he can get off the floor.
Yeah,
he will be a nice player here. Yep, and Carmichael, when Carmichael learns to understand the game and they get him a little more acclimated and get him a position, he'll be a nice player. McGee is going to be a nice player. Hey, their front line's going to be pretty darn good, and there are a couple junior college guys they're involved with. And I think they're going to pick off a fifth-year guy or two and remake the roster here in the offseason. I really do believe we weather this storm from the NCAA. We're going to have a lot of fun years ahead, and I would hate to go back to some boring SOB after seeing this.
Yeah.
I mean, what a tease that would be.
Konzo,
you know it?
Konzo was terrible. I mean,
no offense.
I couldn't stand watching it.
No, jeez Louise.
I know people will probably rip me because I said Konzo's terrible, but who cares? Like Mickey and all those yahoos over there on 990, the snooze machine.
Snooze machine.
I just enjoy it. I mean, even in a loss, it's exciting. I mean, we're playing probably a Sweet 16 talent team down to the very end at their home court. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I didn't even imagine this. I thought we were just, if we make it to the NIT, that'd been, you know, unbelievable. I mean, we're in the talks to make the NCAA tournament, and I mean, he should get coach of the year. I mean, my personal, but I mean,
all right, it's incredible. I mean, right now
they're
going
to give it to the, you know, Regal.
Sure.
Calipari.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think a lot of people, you're starting to hear a lot of people really buzz about the job that he's done. Because when you look at the roster and you look at him in person, I guarantee you some of these longstanding basketball guys, Goodman, when he comes to town and gets a look at what Tennessee has up close and personal this weekend when he's doing that game, he's going to walk out of there and go, how in the world does this guy have, and they'll have 13 wins after Saturday. How have they done that? Or will they have 14 wins, Keith, after Saturday? It'll be 13 wins, right? Or 14.
13.
Saturday will be 13. Okay.
Right. And how bad is Seth Davis?
He is, I mean, he is an, I mean, absolute.
Is it reality with him?
He is No. See, he everything's got to fit into a worldview with him. And it's a worldview of white guilt, and we punished Konzo because he's a black man.
No, it's we just, punished Konzo because he sucked.
Well, no, I mean, that's, but Seth Davis's viewpoint is, we punished him because we're bad, because we're white, and that's the reason the petition was brought up. It had nothing to do with, like I told Jeff Goodman today, guys, and I told Jeff Goodman, Keith will tell you this, I told him, the guy did not get involved here. He did not get to know people. He did not make an effort. He did not go knock on doors and go talk to groups. And if you don't do those things here, you might as well not even bother, because it will not work. It does not, and it will not work here. You've got to be a politician. You've got to have part of that as your makeup here. And that's,
I mean, how many times did Konzo Martin go into the student section and hand out pizza?
Correct. Never.
How many times? None.
How many times did he fight an official? How many times did he show life?
None.
How many times did you see him pull a kid off the court like you saw Tindall tonight? And by the way, I love this from Tindall. I talk about it in tomorrow's blog. When you're cussing somebody out now and you cover your mouth up in order to do it, because you know he got complaints from people on using the F word, and he's over there cussing Bachman a blue streak when he dribbled that ball out of bounds, and he's going, hey, Bachman, you mother, what you doing? And you can't see what he's saying? I mean, come on, man, that's just beautiful.
And guys, the other night when the Rat won his 1,000th game, I mean, they're handing out hats and T-shirts.
Oh, boy.
And, I mean, come on, just shake the hands and go back to the locker room. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. I cannot stand all this Coach K stuff on the TV anymore.
It's all about the Rat, man.
We get it.
We get it. You won. Now go retire. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. That's my point. We get it, Keith. Now go retire.
I'm still not exactly sure how they're counting those 30-something wins you got with Corey McGetty. That's just me.
And I go back to like 970. Let's wake up tomorrow and he's back with like 968, Keith. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
take
his 32
wins away.
Yeah, I mean, I think didn't they go like 35-2 that year? That's the year UConn beat them in the national finals. Cincinnati beat them in the Great Alaska Shootout, and then they got beat in the national finals for the only games they lost. So they're like 35-2. So that dumps him back down to about 965.
Pretty darn good year. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us again, 865-200-5402. On a night where Tennessee loses to Arkansas, but in the process earns a whole lot of respect and, I think a lot of admiration, Keith, from this fan base. What were you expecting tonight from our phone callers before we get our, next call in here?
Oh, I thought once the game played out like it did, I thought it would be a lot like it is, but I thought tonight was going to be an interesting experiment, because it was going to be the first time really that we've come on here after they really got clobbered. I thought they'd get clobbered tonight.
You asked me that earlier. You said, people, in light of the fact that Pearl's in town, in light of the fact that Goodman had that report out there about the two players, which I'm telling you, the interview that took place in Hattiesburg, Mississippi is a regularly scheduled interview. It's not more stuff Doesn't that make you feel better, Keith, that I'm sharing that with you? Because I know you shot me that text earlier, and I didn't have a chance to get back with you, but it's not anything they weren't expecting. This thing is right where they thought it was going to be. There have been no new revelations dropped on Tennessee to this point. It is exactly these two guys, just to give you a little, just a little more. The two players in question that were interviewed today are two guys who are currently on the roster, and one of them at Southern Miss. And one of them, when you jog your memory, when I say his name, you'll remember as a guy that Tennessee was involved with last year. And I'm talking about Rasham Suarez. That's a guy they tried to recruit here. Rasham Suarez and Jeremiah Eason were, who's a role player for them, were interviewed, according to Jeff Goodman today, by the NCAA. Goodman said the NCAA is, and Tennessee knew this, they were going to go back down there and do some more stuff with those two guys, and that's about academic issues. That's one of the components to this Tennessee's afraid of, is the academic stuff. They don't think the other things are going to stick to them, though. When the letter comes out, it's going to be extremely long. It's going to be extremely extensive. It's going to look a lot uglier than it is. And boy, Mickey Dearstone is going to have himself a damn field day when that thing comes out. He is going to be so excited. Mickey Dearstone.
But if it comes out in late March, he probably won't even be doing his show then. He'll be in his week of mourning after UConn or Stanford. Somebody stomps the living guts out of the Lady Vols. So he'll
back
probably
to
be
the,
on his
now that's
two
not,
week.
Now that's
he'll
not
be on
nice.
His 2 week convalescence. So.
Back to the phones we go. That's not a nice thing to say. 865, we are one Tennessee here, even though he wants to divide us. And to your point, it makes you mad because you see through that agenda, and I don't want to turn this into him, but when that letter comes out, people that want to see Tindall get it are going to be gleeful, but I've got news for them. I think it's going to be a lot worse. It's going to look a lot worse than it truly is. And let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, what's going on?
Hey, Don, great to hear from you, man. You're going to be our final caller tonight. You're up talking Tennessee basketball at 12:30 Eastern time.
Salesman, get up on a
Tuesday night. You got to believe it.
Well, I figured since so many people seem to like my name, I'd call in. I thought we was going to pull it out. You know, Keith, when we went from 50-45 up to 54-50 down on that 9-0 run they made, I thought, I'm like you. But once we kept keeping it tied at 54-56, I thought, we're going to find a way. And, I really thought the punter free throws just really put us in a bad way. And Armani left a couple hanging that really hurt us. But I'm not upset. I'd love to have won, but it was just an enjoyable game to sit here and watch. I mean, it was, you was in it all the way. You didn't start packing your bags. And even, they shot out the 7-0 run. You think, what's going on? And of course, you had to scramble to find an alternate channel for SEC networks. And
where was it? Was it on?
DirecTV doesn't activate it, Tony. I've called DirecTV twice about it. Every time they put it on that, they never activate it. It's right next to the SEC network, but apparently DirecTV doesn't know how to activate it and turn it on.
So, Donnie, what do you have? What's your carrier?
Charter.
Charter. So you found the alt channel on Charter?
I know where it is. It's on the regular SEC network is on three different channels, and the alternate's on two different channels. So, I flipped away. I missed right at the very beginning because I kept flipping back looking for some other ESPN. Because when I first went over there, when I realized the other game was going to overtime, all I got was that screen where they're playing the music and rolling all the different schools through. But when I flipped back, it was 4-0, and I picked it up from there. And in fact, never did turn it back until it was quite late. Then the SEC network alternate channel kind of went off, and you know, I went back to the regular.
My gosh,
but,
what a mess!
No, I tell you, you know, I know you got different sponsors and stuff, and they're a pain in the rear sometimes. But I've just found that all my neighbors and everybody, whether it's weather conditions or service or whatever, I just bite the bullet, keep my cable. don't you know, get as many channels for the same money, but. You know, I do the whole package with my internet, but I don't want to do a charter commercial. I want to talk about ball games. But, you know, just talking about the Alonzo Ellis, you know, was doing the game. One comment he made that I really liked, he said, you know, this is the first time I've done an SEC game. He said, I'm impressed with the hustle because that ball hits the floor. I mean, there's bodies, you know. Arkansas and Tennessee was diving and fighting for every ball. I thought he was the best announcer I've heard do a Tennessee game. I can't remember when.
That is so interesting tonight that so many people picked up on how great and refreshing that guy was tonight. He was so fun.
And he was fire. I mean,
and he was fair. That's exactly right. He just called the game.
It wasn't.
Well, he's got no dog in the fight, Tony. Unlike 90% of the guys we have at the SEC Network, all who are going to have allegiance to at least their school, I mean, LaFonso Ellis got no dog in any SEC fight. He doesn't care.
But you know what? Dane Bradshaw has dog in the fight, but he's extremely fair toward Tennessee. And when he's doing the opposition, I should say. And I think Barry Booker, for the most part, is fair, but he's just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he sucks no matter who he's talking about. That's great.
Of course, if he was the one that was doing the game I was watching before that with I can't remember one of the other SEC games as I was flipping the channel, and they were showing the standings, and he's saying, well, there, here's the best four teams, and it was Georgia, Kentucky. That A&M's coming on. Said Tennessee made a good run early, but I expect them to fall back to the pack. And I thought, well, we'll see about that, buddy. Oh, that's right, Vanderbilt. That's what I was watching. They were getting beat again. I thought, you know, that he did do a really good job. I don't think, you know, you mentioned that some people with Bruce coming in, and if we went out late and egg and all that, I don't think that the majority of true fans, not the guys that says, well, I just can't buy in until I know what's going to happen with the NCAA. I'm talking about the true fans.
Those people piss me off.
I don't think any of them would trade Tindall for Pearl.
Oh, I don't. I don't think there's any. Look, I really appreciate what Bruce Pearl did. I love what he did here. I mean, I just appreciate it. We were in the wilderness.
Watching him go 10-10.
He did a really, really, really great job, but it's a new day. And anybody that walks in that building and cheers for him on Saturday, I mean, after you announce him and you give him a clap, somebody mentioned it, the Cleveland Cadavers did when they brought back LeBron James the first time, and you give him a standing ovation, and then you go cheer against him, and you hope he gets thrilled, and you hope we beat the absolute living daylights out of them. I'm talking about by 30 freaking points, Donnie.
Well, if like in football, if we had played Duke at the Belt Bowl or something, you know, I'd have been all for loving on David Cutt. He lived for everything he done here. But I'd have sure been wanting to pound their eyes shut when the kickoff took place. So
you are exactly right. Don, I need you to do some work. I know you do some business over at State Run. You need to tell those hosts that they need to cheer for Donnie Tindall.
Retire. Tell them to retire, Don.
We need to cheer for Donnie Tindall.
Quit.
We need to cheer for Donnie Tindall to get through this thing. I don't understand them, Don. We had this discussion the other day. They seem to be cheering against this guy.
Well, now Mickey's done that. I think he's done that through the years.
For every coach.
Yeah.
He hates the men.
Yeah, he's tried to run I mean, he's trashed everybody. And it,
everybody.
He's trashed the bums, and he's trashed,
yep,
you know, the good coaches.
Yep.
Kind of like the Sentinel, you know, that would pound down whoever the football coach was or one of the star players for every little thing. But, you know, I've noticed he doesn't really comment a lot. You're talking about his Lady Vol affiliation. Look at some of the stuff some of our former ladies have gotten into, and I don't hear him.
God, kind of God, it's such a great observation.
Yeah, I don't remember any of our, I don't remember too many of former basketball or football players opening fire on their girlfriend.
Right.
Or how about Latino Davis crying out loud? Or I mean, there's a lot of things. Flabby Conklin. I mean, my gosh.
Brittany Jackson.
Look what Brittany, you know, she got arrested. You don't hear them going back, but, you know, everybody wants to go back to some guy played here 25 years ago and done something really bad. It's like accusing our football staff of having all these thugs. Talk about Dwayne Goodrich and different ones. They got in trouble way after they left here.
It's all... When it fits a narrative, it's kind of like we're back to that Konzo Martin thing again with Seth Davis. When it fits your worldview and it fits your narrative, you can work it into any bit, and you can play it like it's your favorite scale. And Don, I really do appreciate.
All right, buddy.
What a wonderful phone call from you to close things out. Hatfield, you were presented tonight by
our friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville, next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
Give me your take on the way out here.
Oh, I thought Tennessee played well. And I mean, you're not, I mean, the road, we constantly harp on it, but we harp on it because it's true. The toughest thing to do in college sports is win on the road in college basketball. And tonight, Tennessee played well enough. I mean, that probably gets you a win of the other 12 venues in the SEC you'll go to on the road. That probably gets you a win in at least 9 of the buildings.
Florida tonight wins at Vanderbilt 52-50. Comment.
At Alabama. Yeah.
Alabama.
That all that is Billy Donovan making sure that Florida and Alabama both make the NIT probably.
Texas A&M tonight drills Auburn 71-61 at Auburn. A&M, in my mind, is going to the NCAA tournament.
They certainly look like an NCAA tournament team right now, and so does Georgia, Tony. That's the team that is getting zero credit. And if you look at their non-conference schedule, they didn't play a bunch of top 10 teams. They didn't play any real dogs either. Their RPI, I mean, Lenardi's got them as a 9 seed right now. Now, granted, bracketology this time of year borders on being silly, but that tells you where Georgia's at right now. I think Georgia has positioned themselves fantastically in this league right now.
Georgia over Vanderbilt tonight, 70-62.
They're going to have to think about making a change at Vanderbilt.
The guy's the all-time winningest basketball coach there, man.
Yep.
It's going to be hard for
them.
I'm
one of the few people that actually likes the guy, but I think he stayed there way too long.
And that's the drill. Every dog has its day. There's going to be a time, Keith, where I'm going to say to you, come down here, my friend, and take this microphone out of my hands because I can't use it anymore. It's getting too tired to see. I feel like I'm knocking on 990's door. Hatfield, I love you. Give me a final word here on the way out.
Oh, I think Tennessee's still sitting in good shape. A great opportunity Saturday. I mean, it's going to be a great environment. Anybody who doesn't have a ticket and get their hand on one, I say show up there Saturday. And one thing about, talking about LaPhonso Ellis, Tony, have you noticed that everybody of that generation of players that were in college or around college right about when you or I were there have all turned out to be damn good analysts? LaPhonso Ellis.
Yeah.
Look in the NBA. You're in the NBA. Chris Webber, great analyst. Steve Smith, great analyst. Dennis Scott, great analyst. Grant Hill, great analyst. Jim Jackson doing college games for Fox, great analyst.
Steven Bardo.
I think you just broke the streak, Tony.
I like Bardo. You're a hater.
Stephen Barnett.
What?
Oh, my God. Stephen Bardo is the more intelligent Kendall Gill. I'll give him that.
Hatfield, love you.
Have a good one, Taz.
This concludes, ladies and gentlemen, another edition of your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I'm back with you tomorrow at 11 Eastern. I'll have Sean Sinclair with me, but listen anyway. We'll have a lot to talk about this game, the ramifications, the NCAA stuff. Got some more tonight. Did some reportage that I will share with you on the TonyBasilio.com. We'll post that blog in the early morning regarding Mike DeBoard. In the meantime, got a little Creedence Clearwater Revival to take us out tonight. This is from 1970. Take you back to the Bay Area. Live at the Fillmore.